You are listening to CKMS News on 102.7 FM, Radio Waterloo. Today is December 20th, 2023, and I am MP Holmes. On October 18th of this year, the House of Commons unanimously passed the Right to Repair Amendment under the Copyright Act, otherwise known as Bill C-244. The bill was originally tabled by Cambridge MP Brian May, who explained what the bill is and how it came into being.
It stemmed from an experience of one of my staff who tried to fix his own dryer and had a relatively easy fix. It was a part that he could get online, three screws, boom, done, wouldn't work. And it wouldn't work because the part had a technological protection measure, or a TPM, that didn't match the motherboard of the dryer. And when he contacted the manufacturer, they said, oh yeah, well, we can send somebody out, we can unlock that, and we can make it work. And it was hundreds and hundreds of dollars to do this. And we started that conversation about, you know, how many people have experienced something like that, where they look at fixing something and it turns out it's more expensive to fix it than you know, to go out and buy a new one. What Bill does is it changes the Copyright Act to allow for the circumvention of technological protection measures for the purposes of maintenance, repair, and diagnostic. That's it. Doesn't actually create a framework for right to repair. That will happen afterwards. So with this bill, it'll create an environment where provinces can now move forward to pass legislation to effectively create a right to repair framework. The Copyright Act was so old, it couldn't have anticipated the Internet of Things, the fact that your dishwasher, your refrigerator, the combine on the farm are all now computers with an appliance wrapped around it. And so manufacturers have utilized that copyright basically like a loophole to own not just the manufacturing rights of a product, but now the repair rights of a product. And what we're suggesting is that that shouldn't be the case.
MP May described how Bill C-244 will allow the circumvention of a technological protection measure, or TMP, so long as the circumvention is for diagnosis, maintenance, or repair purposes. TPMs are meant to protect proprietary information or software, but TPMs have pushed aside an individual's right to repair any device that they own. If your phone or humidifier or coffee maker doesn't work anymore, the price to have it repaired is often greater than purchasing a new product, or it cannot be repaired because of TPMs and copyright restrictions. So naturally, people discard the broken product and buy a new one. Except, often the broken piece is cheap and easy to fix. The problem here is that these broken but fixable products end up in landfills and become problems for waste management. While concerns about waste management and waste diversion are among the key elements of this amendment, so too is the expense that repair places on people. While it was an expensive dryer repair that nudged MP May and his staff to table the bill, it was soon clear that the lack of repairability is an issue that impacts groups throughout society. Among the most egregious and expensive of repair situations were those that impacted farmers.
It was really fascinating. When we started doing this, we were thinking appliances and phones and that kind of stuff, and then very, very quickly got exposed to the challenges that farmers have now with their equipment, like hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of equipment that can sit idle. And through COVID, it was even more of a challenge. They couldn't get the factory repair guy to actually come up from, you know, Kentucky or Tennessee or something like that. And there were combines getting put on trains. And for minor stuff, you can't change a tire on a combine without breaking a technological protection measure, unlocking a technological protection measure. There's a chip there's a sensor in the tire that tells the motherboard whether there's a flat tire, right? All of our cars have this, and there's sensors on everything. What they've done is they put these TPMs on all of these sensors, so they know if somebody else is fixing it. And in the case of combines, what it does is if you go ahead and you fix it on your own, it then limits access to other services on that system. So there's a GPS, built-in GPS on some of these combines. All of a sudden that'll stop working. And what it does, it encourages the owner to call the manufacturer. Well, what's happening here? Oh no, it must be this. We'll send out a guy and he'll fix it, and it'll cost, you know, $2,000. Like, it's crazy.
MP May talked about how TPMs have impacted consumer behavior, promoting a more disposable, throwaway culture.
Every community across this country used to have a TV repair guy. They used to have a vacuum repair guy. Those don't exist anymore. We've become a very disposable economy as a result. Some of the fastest growing category of waste is now e-waste. And we're seeing big screen TVs that, you know, it's easier to buy a new one than fix, end up in landfill.
There still are what MP May calls repair guys around, although fewer all the time. Murray Zink is the founder of 4Repair KW and the UW Repair Hub, and has been repairing and promoting repair for many years. Based at the University of Waterloo, Murray saw firsthand this tendency towards throwing out what is not needed anymore, regardless of what it works or not, and decided to do something about it.
Beginning in 2019, 4Repair KW and supported an activity here on campus to collect move-out waste from students, so items that they no longer wanted to take with them as they graduated in April and then August, and then collected that and then free-cycled it in September to students moving in. And so we did, and this is not 2019, we did 1,400 pounds in the first go, 1,700 in the second. We paused for COVID, and then we restarted in fall 2021, and April 2022, and then August 2022, collected 13,500 pounds of material that was, like most of the items, like I worked on cleaning toasters and kettles and all those sorts of appliance things with the group of volunteers I work with, and they, that all was free cycled out to students as they moved in. It was, they picked it up as they came in. So coat hangers, boot trays, fans, lamps, dishes, pots, pans, all of those common things they'd have in their dorm room that they wouldn't take with them after they moved off campus.
Murray described what kind of items they see in their repair cafe.
We see sometimes if it's from a co-op student, we see a toaster that's toasted for 4 months, not heavily, and it's back in its box and it's just left behind because no one's going to take it with them.
Right.
The students won't stop and try and sell it on Marketplace. It's just, you know, the $25 Walmart toaster. So it has huge potential to both for the environment, do the right thing, but also from the point of view of international students or those that are on a budget to provide materials to have, you know, not have to go out to Walmart and spend $200 on stuff.
Canada is not alone in trying to encourage and legislate for right to repair. MP May described what is going on elsewhere in the world.
What's interesting is now, with the time that has passed, we're now in catch-up mode. Almost the EU is passing right to repair legislation. Joe Biden has put forth right to repair legislation to catch up with about 12 different states that already have done this. Australia is moving in this direction. So we're like, over the course of like the last, you know, three and a half years, we're, like I said, we're in a bit of a catch-up mode now. Right. And so passing this is almost like a foregone conclusion. So the because of that, because of the universal support, I think manufacturers are now looking at, okay, how do we live in this new environment? How do we take advantage of the fact that we're gonna be in this race now for repair? And what's interesting is a lot of them are looking at the auto industries. Automotive has had a voluntary right to repair agreement for decades, right? Like we, can you imagine like your car breaks down, you had to take it to your dealer, like would lose their mind, right? They want to be able to go to their own mechanic. And so with very few exceptions, the entirety of the auto industry has had this sort of universal, you know, right to repair voluntary agreement. The exception to that are German automakers, and Tesla. Tesla believes or wants people to believe that it's an environmentally conscious company. It is absolutely not. It is the worst offender when it comes to right to repair by far. And they're fighting tooth and nail to kind of combat right to repair stuff. And you know, we see all these sort of testimonials about, you know, if your Tesla is under warranty, it's great. It costs nothing. They're really wonderful. But if your Tesla is not under warranty, or if you bought a used Tesla, trying to fix something on your own is virtually impossible. And if you're doing it, you're actually breaking federal law. because you're breaking the Copyright Act.
While many manufacturers understand and have decided to facilitate the right to repair, others continue to oppose this legislation, citing security risks, safety risks, and risks to intellectual property, all of which MP May refuted.
Like the concerns about, you know, stealing code or stealing intellectual property, it's nonsense, absolute nonsense. Right. And this idea of it being a safety issue, well, I think it's incredibly insulting to consumers, mm-hmm. But it's also just not the case. Like we drive our vehicles all day, every day, with a voluntary, right to repair agreement for like the last 30 years. So, if there was this fear that, Canadians are all of a sudden going to start, tampering with their transmissions. Well, no, of course they're not. They're going to fix what they know that they can fix and they're comfortable fixing. And if they don't have the expertise, they can then take it to somebody that they choose to, that, is going to be able to compete in the economy for that business.
Murray Zink agreed that safety is a red herring and that most things don't pose a safety risk.
If you take a look at something like a kettle, and most kettles on their surface will get hot, right? So you've got your kettle on, you know how to interact with your kettle so you don't hurt yourself, right? And I think that's true for all these other things. And if you look inside many of the things, I don't see, other than if there's a whole lot of heat and it makes a piece of plastic discolored, like the color of plastics changes or warps a bit, right? You're going to start having this sense that I've got something very hot. So you're not expecting your food processor or your blender to get really hot on the outside. But if all of a sudden it started to turn grayish in an area or felt very hot, much like interacting with the kettle, you wouldn't harm yourself.
Right.
So I don't feel that that's a legitimate thing saying they're stopping people from touching their blender and burning themselves or whatever, right? And I don't think that there's enough fuel inside, materials that would make a significant fire inside most of those electrical, mechanical, plasticky things that all of a sudden you say, well, it would spontaneously combust. So I do believe there's a little bit of misdirection there.
MP May described some of the discussions he has had with manufacturers and how he has been able to disentangle repair from their arguments.
There's a lot of industries that are watching very closely. We met via Zoom with a lobby group down in the States, along with a state senator who was advocating on behalf of these companies and wanted us to back off. And I said, well, what are the concerns you have? And they said, well, what if somebody, breaks a TPM on the governor for the fuel emissions? Like that would be bad for the environment. Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah, that would still be against the law. And they said, what do you mean? I said, well, if they're breaking TPM, anything other than maintenance, repair, or diagnostic, they're still going to be breaking the law based on the copyright. And they went, well, what if they, break the TPM that is the sensor in the chair or seat that says there's a passenger? And I said, well, again, is that for maintenance, diagnostic, or repair? And they're like, well, no. And I said, well, again, that would still be against the law. And so it's the simplicity of this legislation that is its major strength. And we've had almost, like I said, almost no pushback because they don't have a leg to stand on. Right. They have taken advantage of a Copyright Act that was written like 20, 30 years ago. And they have not had to fight for the repair side of their business. They've just owned it. And now they're going to have to compete with independent repair people, parts providers. There's going to be a whole economy that's going to be based on the right to repair, which is really exciting.
MP May talks about how repair will become a viable small business again, but Murray Zink describes how repair culture has faded, likely due to the lack of awareness of where to buy replacement parts because repair shops do not exist anymore.
Speaking of repair shops, this locally, I was trying to think back, this is a decade, so it's like in the time machine. The corner of King and Victoria in that general neighborhood, there was a house for somebody 30 years ago would sell bushings and brushes and all the little parts to rebuild blenders or different home appliances, vacuums, whatever. That business has been gone for a long time. And we don't other than researching online and finding a way to buy it online, we don't have a source or place that we have supported as a community to keep repair alive, but we also just don't have the will to tinker.
Beyond TPM, many manufacturers make repair difficult by using proprietary screws, declining to publish repair documentation, or gluing parts together. Murray described how things are fixable, but manufacturers make it difficult.
The other thing on this sort of, in this direction or vein, and you may see this with some of the home appliances you have, is if you turn it upside down, and sometimes you can't see into the deep recess where there's screws that are kind of out of the way, but they don't often use a common Phillips screwdriver for all of the screws. They'll use what's called a security screw bit. So the head of the screw is greatly different than any of the tools you might typically buy at Canadian Tire. So they're just called security screwdriver bits. They're often very long, so 4 to 6 inch recess, very deep up inside somewhere. You shine a flashlight in there and you can sort of see which style it is and which head, but they have it so that if you put your normal Phillips screwdriver in that hole and try and turn it out, you'll never get it out, and you'll never open your toaster or whatever because that's the way they want it. They do it, they say for a liability, they're called security screws, but I think it's more just to defeat the simple tinker or fixer getting something back operable.
The right to repair is gaining momentum in Canada and throughout the world. This is a consumer issue, an environmental issue, and a behavioral issue. Manufacturers are making incredible amounts of money promoting a throwaway culture at the expense of landfills, individuals' finances, and resources needed to make new products that are not really needed. As with most consumer issues, purchasing behavior and government action are key. MP May believes repairability will become a competitive advantage.
Honestly, when this starts to, the snowball starts to roll, I think businesses, manufacturers are going to move very quickly to start to solidify themselves in this space. And what I mean by that, if I was, let's say, you know, a manufacturer, let's say I'm Maytag and I'm a manufacturer of washers and dryers, I would right now put a giant logo on the box of every single one of the washers and dryers. And I would advertise that you buy this dryer, we will give you the manual. We will give you that, we will, you know, we can sell you the tools. We can sell you the parts. You have the right to fix this device on your own. The first major appliance company that does that is going to own the market.
The House of Commons has done their part by passing this copyright amendment that opens the doors for provincial governments to enact right to repair legislation. Murray noted that municipal governments also hold a lot of powers in this regard. The mayor of Waterloo, Dorothy McCabe, was elected on the notion of putting big ideas into action. Murray has tried several times to attract the city of Waterloo's attention to see the thousands of pounds he personally has diverted from the landfill and to help to cut through bureaucratic challenges to expand his program beyond the University of Waterloo into all third-level institutions in the city.
If we expanded this to, this was only on campus, by the way, at the University of Waterloo, but if we expanded on campus, off campus at Waterloo, to Wilfrid Laurier on campus, off campus, to Conestoga College on campus and off campus, then there'd be 65,000 students. And my estimate is we'd collect about £3 from each on average of their move-out waste. And if we did it as a region, the three cities, the three post-secondary schools, we'd have something to show the rest of Canada how when student populations come and go from a community, how that greatly changed the waste. But on campus, we contract waste through somebody that bails it and sends it probably to Michigan or something. And then the region says, well, you don't send your waste to us. So we're only interested in off campus because that's where students put waste into the region and et cetera. So you, anyway, just you can see this is a long conversation that's kind of, I haven't been able to fix, but I keep pushing to try and figure out who I should connect with and try and make this a region-wide initiative over 3 to 5 years.
Brian May is the Member of Parliament for Cambridge, and you can check out 4Repair KW and the UW Repair Hub on Instagram, where they list repair cafe hours and locations. For CKMS News and the Local Journalism Initiative, I am MP Holmes. Thanks for listening.